The simple thought I want to leave with you before we go to prayer. And thank you for that testimony, Brother Gavin. Praise God. It's always a blessing when people just talk from their hearts about their love for Jesus and what he's done for them. And we know that God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for others. Anyone that will reach out to him and want him to know him like that, praise God. There's a person in the Bible that whenever we read about her, we find her at the feet of Jesus. And that's Mary, the sister of Lazarus. We first read about her in Luke chapter 10, and that's a very familiar passage to us, where it talks about Jesus visiting the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it says there that Martha was busy in the kitchen serving, while Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus here. Verse 38, this is Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful," one thing is important, "and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Martha wanted Jesus to tell Mary to go help her in the kitchen. And Jesus said, "No, I can't do that, because she's chosen the more important thing right now, and that's to sit at my feet and receive my word." You know, Mary somehow had some spiritual discernment. She greatly valued her times with Jesus. She saw that he had so much to offer. And whenever she had opportunity to be with him, she really wanted to hear what he had to say. And so she laid aside every other thing, and she sat at his feet, and she drank in his word. Martha was in the kitchen missing everything that he was saying. And Jesus said, "You know, Mary is doing what's really important right now. There's something more important than getting supper ready and serving us, but I'm ministering words of life, and you ought to recognize that, and you ought to take time to receive that into your life." And so Mary was somehow, she submitted herself. When you're sitting at someone's feet, it's a place of submission, it's a place of humility. And she got down low at the feet of Jesus, and she submitted herself to his word. She wanted to hear what he had to say, and she wanted to take it into her life, and she wanted to put it into practice. You know, that's something very precious, to learn to value the word of God, and then to submit ourselves to his word. When the Apostle Paul spoke to the Thessalonians, he commended them, because he said, "When we brought the word of God to you, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God." You recognize that the things that we were speaking to you were not coming from our own mind, but this was the word of God. There was anointing upon it. There was life being ministered. And you recognize that, and you took it to heart, and you put it into practice, and you experience the blessing that comes from God's word. Oh, I trust that we all love the word of God, and I trust that the Holy Spirit is making God's word more precious to us, that God speaks to us through his word. He makes these truths real to us. They have a great impact upon our lives and shape the way we live so that we can honor and glorify him. And so Mary, there in that chapter, submitted herself to the wonder of his word. And then we read in John chapter 11, we read about her again, and we find her at the feet of Jesus again. Martha had sent word to Jesus, Mary and Martha, that their brother Lazarus was sick, and that he desperately needed Jesus to come and heal him. And when Jesus received that word, he didn't go right away, but he stayed a few more days where he was. And I can imagine that during those days they were looking, they were sending out their servants, go down the road, is he coming yet? Lazarus is getting worse. And they were waiting for Jesus to come. And eventually Lazarus died. And that's when Jesus showed up. He showed up after Lazarus had died. And Martha ran out to meet him and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You know, you can read a lot into that. Where were you? Why didn't you come? We needed you and you weren't there for us. If you had been here, Lazarus would still have been alive. And then they told Mary that Jesus was here. And so Mary went out to meet him, and she fell at his feet, it says here in John chapter 11. Let me see here. And she said, it appeared to just be the same thing. Maybe you can help me find it. Yeah? Okay. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, verse 32, and saw him, she fell down at his feet and said unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, there was a little bit of a difference in Mary and Martha, because Martha said, my brother wouldn't have died, but even now I know that you can change things. She was still wanting Jesus to intervene, to do something about the situation. You don't get that from Mary. Mary was willing to accept whatever Jesus chose for her. Well, if you felt it was time for my brother to go, if you were not moved upon to come and heal him, as hard as that is, Lord, I accept your will. I'm not trying to force you to do what I want you to do, what's best for me, but whatever you choose, I know is best, and I'll, by your grace, submit to that. Now, it turns out Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead, but there's something important for us to recognize about Mary's attitude. You know, there are times when we just have to accept what God allows. There are other times when we need to believe for changes and pray that God will intervene. You know, maybe you do that all the time when things don't go the way you want them to, or when there's a need, you pray, God, change, God, work, God, meet that need. But there are times when we have to recognize this is what God has allowed, and he has a purpose in allowing that. And even though I might not like it, I submit to it, I accept it. And I just trust that God will glorify himself through this. There are some things God doesn't change when we pray. And we can always be fighting that and always be rebelling against that. Or we can come into rest. And we can say, okay, Lord, show me now why you've allowed this and what you want to do with this in my life. We'll have things in our life that God has allowed to happen and he hasn't changed them, no matter how much we've prayed. And there comes a time when the Holy Spirit just gives us the grace to come down and submit ourselves to his will. Thy will be done, not my will. Your will be done. And Mary was able to do that. Now, I'm sure she was very happy that the Lord raised her brother, and she loved him dearly, but she was willing to accept whatever Jesus felt was best. And then the next time we read about her, and again at the feet of Jesus, is in the next chapter, in John chapter 12. After Lazarus was raised from the dead, they had a feast, of celebration, no doubt. And Lazarus was at the table there with Jesus. Martha was serving as usual. And there were many other people there. I'm sure they were very fascinated. They wanted to talk to Lazarus and find out, where'd you go when you died, and what was that like, and so on. And It says that, in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, a very costly ointment, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. And one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, he said, why was this not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was in charge of the money, and he put his hand on the bag every once in a while. And then Jesus said, let her alone. Against this day, the day of my burying, has she kept this. The poor you're going to have with you always, and you can minister to them anytime you want to. But I'm not going to be here forever in the same way that I am now. And so here we see her anointing the feet of Jesus, there down at the feet of Jesus, and wiping her feet with her hair. Somebody explained it this way, that Lazarus was sort of the main attraction there. Everyone had come to see Lazarus, so he was quite a phenomenon. And Mary is watching this going on, and she's saying, no, Lazarus is not supposed to be the center of attraction. Jesus is. Yes, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but Jesus was the one that did it. And so she was moved by her love for Jesus. She was moved to just honor him in the best way, with the best that she had. And so she took this ointment and poured it upon him. And suddenly, everyone began to turn and look to see where that fragrance was coming from. And when they looked, they saw Mary there at his feet, and all their eyes were upon Jesus. And that's the way it was supposed to be. Jesus was supposed to be the center of attraction, the center of attention. And so she submitted herself to the wonder of Jesus, who he was. Not just what he did, but who he was, filled her with wonder. He was more wonderful than we could imagine. And she wanted everyone to know that. Yes, I'm happy for what God did for Lazarus, but the glory and the praise ought to go to Jesus. He ought to be the one that's honored. He's the one that should be the center. And so in these three places, she submits herself to his word, the wonder of his word. She submits herself to the wonder of his will. Lord, whatever your will is, I come under, I submit. And she submits herself to the wonder of Jesus, Jesus himself. And Jesus said, you know, Mary anointed me because I'm going to die soon, and they're not going to have a chance to fully prepare my body for the burial. And so she, out of love for me, did something to anoint my body ahead of time. Maybe she knew something was happening. Maybe she understood that Jesus was going to give himself for our sins. And the others didn't see that quite the way she did. You know, when you really love Jesus, he begins to open your eyes and you begin to understand things that maybe you didn't understand before, or others that don't know him in that way don't see. And so when I heard this about Mary, that every time you read about her, she's at the feet of Jesus, I thought that's a good place to be. There's a place for me there, and there's a place for you there, at his feet, a place of submission. I like the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And I remember one time when the Lord made me think about the words, perfect submission, perfect delight. And I saw the connection. I never thought about that before. If I want to experience delight in my relationship with God, if I want to really know joy in serving Jesus, I have to submit to him. And the more I submit myself to him, the more I give myself away to him, the more joy comes into my life. I think you're finding that out at Pilgrim Camp, that as you serve God with all your heart and you don't hold anything back, there's the joy of the Lord. You experience a delight and a joy that you didn't know before. There's joy in serving Jesus, we sing. And then it goes on to say, perfect submission, all is at rest. You know, we're so troubled about so many things, and there's so much confusion in our lives at times. And, you know, we insist on our own way, and we want God to do things our way. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died, but now I still know you can do what I want you to do. And Jesus wants to bring us into rest. He wants to bring peace into our hearts and minds. And that comes by submitting to him and laying aside my own will. Not my will, Lord, but what you want. I know what you want is best for me. And I'll be able to accept it, and I'll be able to experience the blessing of your will as I embrace it. And so there are times when we just have to do that. Help me to submit to your will, Lord. Help me to stop fighting you. Take out of my heart all the resistance and let Jesus have his way in my life. Some people have talked about how God was after them and they were fighting him. And the more they fought him, the more miserable they were. They had no rest. But when they said, Lord, not what I want, but what you want, and they began to embrace his will, oh, what rest and what peace came into their life. Hallelujah. And so God wants you to experience his delight, and he wants you to experience the rest that only Jesus can bring. And then you'll be able to say, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. This is my story, and this is my song. Praise God. And so God wants to put that song into your heart of praise. And we can help the matter along by getting down at the feet of Jesus and adopting that posture. Lord, humility. Lord, acceptance. Lord, loving you. And so let's do that while we're up at Pilgrim Camp. We'll have opportunity now and at other times to just wait on the Lord. Sometimes the Lord puts silence upon the meeting, sometimes for a long time, sometimes for a short time. But God wants us to learn that those times of silence are very powerful. God is present. God is working. God is working without our interference. He's just taking up our matters into his own hands. And as we wait and we love him and we praise him in our hearts, we say, Lord, have your way, have your way. Lord, I belong to you. You're the center. You're the one that's important. And what you want is what I want. You'll find that God will make tremendous changes in your life. And so now we need to pray. And so we're going to do that. If some would like to go to their knees, that's always good. That's a good position to take, and a position of humility, but you can also be humble sitting in your chair, and some of you might get down on your knees and not be able to get back up, so we don't want to put you in that position. But let's bow in our hearts, and let's let God use us. Praise God. Whatever you pray about, we'll pray with you. We'll believe God with you. And it's not wrong to pray, God, come to us tonight. Come to me, fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Make your will known to me tonight. Oh, we all need to pray like that, don't we? Praise God. So let's sing This Is My Story, just the chorus, and then we'll go to prayer. Okay. I'll tell you what it is, okay? There you go, okay. Praising my Savior. Okay, the chorus. This is my story, this is my song.